walk up by. I wonder, do you ever question why? Oh, crow, crow, I'm sitting here wondering why. You know you see more of the day than I could dream. And I do not know what I tell you. I do not know what I say to you. I do not know what would set you free. But it's a hard, hard fight. Sun. I want to back, not for anyone. I see the sign, and I know what is mine. Oh, what a lie, what a lie, what a lie, what a lie, what a lie looks like. Yeah, what a lie, what a lie, what a lie, what a lie, what a lie looks like.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. English folk singer-songwriter Beth Orton was a pioneer of folktronica, a style mixing elements of folk and electronica, whose pulse can still be felt in the underpinning groove of Orton's mostly acoustic music now. After a six-year hiatus from recording, Orton released Sugaring Season last year, which was greeted with critical acclaim and superlatives such as masterpiece. She'll play at Club Helsinki in Hudson, New York on Friday, February 7th at 9 p.m., and she joins us now. Beth Orton, welcome to the Roundtable.
Hi.
I saw you this past summer at the Solid Sound Festival at Mass MoCA. You popped up for a bit with your husband, Sam Amidon. Did you have a good time at Mass MoCA?
Yeah, it was fantastic. Beautiful. Very lovely. I thought it was a great festival.
Do you think that performing in a location like that or any location has an effect on the music and the performance? Does location matter to you?
100, yeah, definitely. I mean, at one point, Sam was doing a gig in the hall.
The Phoenix? Zhubing Phoenix?
It was an incredibly long, like, sculpture of a dragon in the middle of the room, and then he was just playing in the center of the room, and people were milling around, and then there were children kind of running across the back, and I think one of them was ours, and it was just, you know, it can't help but change the atmosphere of the music and influence it, and I think it's really exciting that, you know, a space can do that.
Does the space where you are, the physical place where you are, have an influence on you when you're writing music?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, you know, to be honest, you know, I don't want to get too pussy about that and be like, oh, I couldn't possibly write unless it's, you know, an amazing view and it's beautiful. But, you know, because sometimes it's your internal landscape that, you know, writes for you and not the external one. So, I mean, having said that, yeah, it's important to me. And right now, I feel like the most interesting space to write in is not in a studio. You know, I would love to actually find like a kind of artist space and work in there, because I think at this stage, just that sounds really pretentious probably, but I think the context is really important. And I find a lot of studios incredibly stifling in that way. So, yeah.
Do you write? Are you able to write? Do you have time to write at home?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's not easy.
No.
Make the time and find the space, but I do.
I read in preparing for this that you have thought or often think that your music career is over or might be after the next thing that you do. Why do you think you continually feel that way or think that?
I don't know. I don't like it put like that. That sounds so kind of gross. I just sort of feel like I just always burn everything down to the ground. Once it's done, it's done. It's almost like it doesn't exist in a funny way. I don't hang my kind of, I don't know. It's just, it's more subtle than that. It's just a sense of like, okay, that's done. And now I start with a blank page. I start from, I don't kind of live off my, I mean, nothing is necessarily good enough. So, and once someone said to me, well, if you thought it was like the best thing and it was done and it was perfect, it was complete, then probably you wouldn't try again. You know, but then that's not true either, because I just make music. But I don't read music. I don't know how to construct a song other than if the mood takes me. So I suppose in that way, that's what I mean. It's like there's no surety of like, oh yeah, I mean, and I think I like that. I think it's a good thing. I think it's healthy, and I like the lack, the unknowing in all sorts of aspects, in all the areas of what I do. I like that I'm a novice in, I think a beginner's mind is a good place to be. You know, I suppose that's more what I mean. But yeah, I suppose when I had my daughter, though, that did take on a different kind of feeling, because I was like, well, you know what they say, well, you have children and that's it, right? And your creative life is supposedly over. For me, it just was a whole other, like, portal into other worlds. And I find it inspiring, though it does take a lot of time. And I think that's what people mean. It's just that it's time-consuming to be a parent and do the best job you can at that. So maybe on a practical level, I was like, oh, maybe, you know. But then I still had the desire. And so the music still came. And I'm always grateful for it. And I'm never quite sure where it comes from. And I think that's what I mean. And for me, that keeps me in a sense of wonderment to a degree, I think.
Are you working on putting together a new album anytime in the near future? Are you planning on that?
Oh, yeah, I'm working on one. Yeah, I'm working on a couple. Yeah, I'm always bubbling, like, you know, yeah.
Mm-hmm. On this East Coast tour, you're playing the Murphy Beds are supporting. You're playing with them. How is that selected?
Because I love them, and I think they're fantastic, and I'm a huge fan. And my husband does these sessions in a bar in New York on a Sunday when we're there, when he lived there, and that's how I met Eamon and Jefferson from the Murphy Beds. And I adore them, and now I can't think for the life of me what the bar's called, but the Brass Monkey, that's it. And they're just amazing musicians, and I'm hoping that, you know, they might join me on stage if they feel the urge, or here and there. So we were in that area, that's their neck of the woods, and I was just to see if they're available, and I would love more people to hear what they do, because they're kind of amazing.
You studied guitar with Bert Jansch. How did that happen?
Well, I was always wanting to find Bert Jansch. I wanted him to be the guitarist on Trailer Park. And there was this kind of ridiculous scenario where I would try and stalk him and turn up at various places. This is many years ago now, obviously. I guess this was a long, long time ago. And when I was a kid, when I was like, you know, 8 and stuff, he used to come to this art center where my mum worked. And I saw him play there. I mean, do I remember it? Not particularly, but I was kind of, you know, I remember the feeling. And I think when I was looking for him, I was trying to kind of go back to that place in my childhood that was something really special to me, in that place where my mum worked. It was a big part of our lives. And so I think it was as much about that as anything else. But I also loved Pentangle, and I wanted to make a Pentangle record. And I wanted to have, like, kind of the drum, the beats, but I wanted him to play the guitar and this, that, and the other. Anyway, I would turn up at various places, and I would always miss him, or I turned up at the 12 Bar Blues Club. I heard he was sound checking, and I, like, walked through the wrong door and burst through onto the stage, and it was so embarrassing. I just ran away. Anyway, finally, years and years and years later, we're playing the same gig, and ridiculously, I think he was playing before me, which was crazy, but we were sharing a dressing room, and he was lovely, and his wife was lovely, and they were like, oh my God, you should come out for tea. I was like, really? They're like, yeah. And then my old manager, Jeff Travis, he was like, why don't you ask him for guitar lessons? I was like, my God, that's a genius idea. So I did. I said, Bert, do you fancy giving me guitar lessons? And he said, yes. And that was where the trouble began. It's like, why did I ask for that, you know? But it was amazing, and it ended up being a great friendship as much as anything, he and Lauren and I. I would go there when I was pregnant. In fact, it was before I was pregnant. Yeah, it was around the time of making Comfort Strangers, because a lot of the songs actually ended up that while I was working with him, like there's a song on there called Shadow of a Doubt, and that's inspired by the Anne Briggs song Go Your Way, and it's kind of using some of the chords of that as well. Complete rip-off, basically. And that's because he did that with her, and I was very inspired by that, by the kind of groundedness in her voice and just the beauty of the sentiment. Anyway, I love that song, and I love her as well. And I actually met her. Unfortunately, I met her at Bert's funeral, but she was very lovely. But the whole thing was just this incredible friendship that took me through some years where, you know, having a child, and it was just, and then them getting ill, but it was just an amazing experience to sit with him and work with him. And I was very intimidated by it. I've never had lessons. I don't do lessons well, but, you know, in the end it just became, I think the lessons were recording with him for his record Black Swan, and doing gigs, and just hanging out and just sitting together and playing guitar, and it was hugely instructive and beneficial. Yeah, amazing.
Beth, thank you very much for sharing your stories with us, for joining us today, and have a wonderful time on tour.
Thank you so much.
In a foreign land, there were creatures at play.
Beth Orton will play at Club Helsinki in Hudson, New York on Friday, February 7th. The Murphy Beds will open. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
I feel like going back where there's nowhere to stay. When fire filled the sky, I still rocks I'm climbing down the valley.